Thank you. Now, if you have your Bible, please turn to the passage that is in front of you there, the 1 Timothy chapter 1 passage. Because my text this evening for this short moment before we go to the hall, it's a very famous text, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. How many of you learned it as a child at Sunday school? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And what I want to do tonight is literally to think about that text for a moment. First of all, Christ Jesus came into the world. And that, of course, is what we in the Christian community think about at this particular time of the year. We think of the incarnation, and we think of the extraordinary truth that we claim to believe, that God himself became a man. In Galatians 4 and verse 4, there's another famous Christmas text, and it says this, that when the time had fully come, God sent his Son. When the time had fully come, it was God's time. And God is the God who is still on his throne in the midst of a fallen and cruel and bloody world. He is still on his throne. And God had put certain building blocks, if you like, into place. And I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but think about this for a moment. The Roman peace was in the world of the time when Jesus was born, the so-called Pax Romana. The world had been subdued by the mighty Roman Empire, and the world was in a state of relative tranquility, which was going to be a significant factor in the spread of the gospel. If the world is in tumult and disarray and there are wars all over the place, it does not help in the spread or the allowing of people to literally travel to spread a message. The Romans also were amazing road builders. And I'm not sure here in this island, but certainly you only have to go over to parts of England and you can still see the remains, amazingly, of some of their roads. And literally throughout the Roman Empire, throughout the Middle East, throughout North Africa, throughout much of Europe, there was this system of roads. And along those roads, the gospel would travel. There was a common language, the language that united the empire, the language that united that part of the world was the Greek language. Years before Alexander the Great had, under God, been instrumental in sowing the seeds of Greek culture. And the Romans may have conquered the world militarily, but if I could put it this way, the Greeks had conquered the world linguistically. People could speak Greek. Wherever you went, that was the, if you like, the English of the day. And so the message of the gospel, whenever it came and it was to be written down, it was written down in the language of Greek. The New Testament was written in Greek. Why? Because it was the language that everybody understood. They may have had other languages, but everybody knew a bit of Greek. And then there was also this significant factor. There was a spiritual hunger, we are told, across the empire. The old, if you like, mythological gods of the Greeks and the Romans were losing their grip with many. Many, many people were hungry spiritually. They were open to hear of something new. And into that new situation, the gospel came. You see, folks, my point is a very simple one at this point. Christ Jesus came into the world, and even the moment of his coming had been chosen and ordained by God, and God had paved the way, literally, in preparing the world for the birth of his Son. But the second thing I want to say as I just literally open up this very simple text is that not only do we celebrate the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world, but Christ Jesus came into the world, the text says, to save. You know, there have never been any shortage of opinions as to why Jesus essentially came. Let me just mention three very simple little examples of how people have thought about why Jesus came into the world. Some people have looked on Jesus as the great example. Jesus the exemplar, if you like. The medieval church was very strong on this, that they essentially looked on Jesus as one who was an example to follow. Some of you may have known or even have read a little bit of the book. It's quite a famous book, actually. Thomas A Kempis. And he wrote a book which became quite famous called The Imitation of Christ. And the whole idea behind this was that if you try and follow Jesus and try and do the things that he did, that is the way of redemption. Yes, of course, Jesus was a great example, but that's not what this text tells us. Another example of how people saw Jesus is they saw him as a great teacher. He was a great man with words and ideas and principles, and he taught in a wonderful way. One example of this is a man who became the third president of the United States, a man called Thomas Jefferson, who was a great advocate of Jesus being a great teacher, a man of ideas. Jefferson himself was a man of great ideas, and he admired Jesus for his teaching. But Jesus was more, of course, than just a teacher or an example. One other example that I'll give you is that some people have seen Jesus essentially as a great liberator. The whole liberation theology movement of the 1960s and the 1970s, which affected much of South America, essentially saw Jesus as one who had come literally to set those who were poor free. We could go on and on. But is that why Jesus came? To be an example? I'm sure he was a wonderful example. To be a teacher? Yes, he was a profound teacher. To be a liberator? Yes, he was a liberator, but not always in the way that some people were thinking. What does the text tell us? Well, the text tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save. To save. What did Jesus himself say about his mission into this world? Well, two brief examples from the Gospels. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. Remember, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Out of the lips of Jesus, out of the mouth of Jesus himself, those are the words that give us a clue as to how he saw his mission. More than just being an example, more than just being a teacher, more than just being someone to liberate and help people who were in hard times. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the other example, Mark 10 and verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Folks, you all know it in your heart. Whether you know it as an experience, I'm not sure. But I trust and pray that you all do, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us, to rescue us from our sin. And we were thinking a little bit about that this morning, that treacherous heart that we all have, that deep-seated problem that we all have. But here's the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save. I wonder, do you see that? He came into the world to save. He went to the cross to save. And on the cross, he saved and accomplished a great redemption and a full and free salvation for all who would look to Christ. He came to save. I wonder, do you see that here this evening? Do you really see that? Is that the ground, if you like, that you're standing on this evening? Are you able to testify, even to some degree of assurance, regarding the Son of God, like one of old, and you're able to say within your heart concerning the Lord Jesus, concerning him, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. The one who loved me and gave himself for me. Folks, do you know that tonight? Can you honestly say that within your heart? Not in some general way, but you have a sense of assurance within your own soul about Jesus. He loved me and he gave himself for me. And you've come to that place of surrender, that place of personal commitment, that place of repentance and faith where you have put your trust in Christ and received him into your life as your Savior and your Lord. Or maybe you're here tonight, and if truth be told, you're a wee bit like some of the people that we were reading about this morning who had backslidden, who were following at a distance, and who knew in their hearts, but they weren't listening. But maybe you are listening tonight, and you hear the call of the Spirit of God, even tonight, come, come. For all things are now ready. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a wonderful gift. And Christmas isn't even upon us. You'll not get any better gift than that this year, folks. Than the gift of rest in your soul, peace in your heart, and assurance that all is well between you and the Lord. No better gift. No better gift. Christ Jesus came into the world to save. Do you know that salvation tonight? Have you tasted of that salvation? Are you able to say, like many of old, I have been saved by the grace of God? And the third and final thing is this. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, it's funny how people, the way people think sometimes about different things. And you see this principle here that we're thinking about just for a moment. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There have always been, and I don't know whether there's anyone who will fall into this category here tonight. There may be. I hope not. But there have always been, and ministers and pastors come up against this sometimes, there have always been those who resent being called sinners. There have always been those who cannot truly bring themselves to the place where they are willing to acknowledge that they are sinners. I have known situations, I'm not going to go into details, where people have been grossly offended by the fact that I had said that they were sinners. How dare you say such a thing? And there will always be people who will want to, if you like, argue against that. Well, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad if you knew the person down the road. Well, they really are sinners. I'm a pretty decent person at heart. How dare you call me a sinner? But folks, that's who Jesus came to save. And actually, it seems to me that there is no salvation for anyone who is not prepared to acknowledge that they are sinners. Because it was for sinners that Christ died. So that's one group. And then sometimes you come across other people, and the view there is that actually they're not good enough to come to church or to come and hear the gospel being preached. I wonder if you ever heard of that kind of thing. If you like, the first group are offended by anyone suggesting that they are sinners in need of Christ. And this group, which I think is more common than you might care to imagine, there are people in every community who have this kind of idea, and I'm not quite sure where it came from, that in order to go to church, you have to be a kind of good person. That's for the good people. They go to church. That's for the nice people. They go to church. That's for the people who have it all together. They go to church. I just don't have it together. How could I ever go to church? I'm not a particularly nice person. How could I ever go to church? But folks, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. There's not one of us here tonight who at heart strip away the suit and the tie and all the rest of it. Strip away all of that stuff. And what are we? We are sinners. We are sinners. You know your heart. I know my heart. Wasn't there an example of this in the gospel? There were some people who were almost giving the impression to Jesus that, well, who had he come to save? They were giving the impression that they were very good and righteous and upright people. But Jesus said to them, you know, folks, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but the sick. And folks, I do believe that there are many people in our community who are sick, and I'm not talking physically here. I'm talking in their circumstances. They have many troubles. They have many problems. They have many issues. And they sometimes, I fear sometimes, they can look at the church and get the completely wrong impression. That's the people who've got it all together. How could I ever go into that place? Folks, this is the place for such. How many people in this area sometimes may look at the church and say, well, I'm not well dressed enough or socially graced enough to be part of that. For some, of course, that might just be an excuse. But for others, I think there may be something in that. And I would make an appeal to you this evening, folks, before I finish, that I believe that in this age in which we live, that part of the work that we need to pray about and seek to do is to create a church family culture that is open and welcoming to all. They may not be dressed in the way that you think they should be dressed, but folks, that's not an issue. If they're searching after God, if they're realizing within their hearts, I'm looking for something, and maybe I can find something in this group of people and amongst this group of people. Maybe I can come and hear the message. Let's ensure that nothing puts them off. But let us be open and welcoming to each and every person Why? Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And whether they're dressed up sinners or dressed down sinners, it's sinners that we want to be part of this place, because it's sinners that Christ saves. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And here is the good news, that whether we're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, lower class, middle class, upper class, whatever people may be, there is a message in the gospel for each and every one of them. Each and every one of them. I finish with this. I love the illustration of George Whitefield, who on one particular day was standing in the middle of a field surrounded by hundreds and possibly a few thousand men who had come out of a coal pit, and they were literally black with dirt. They were very, very poor people. And he stood in front of them and he pleaded with them to come to Christ. And many of them did. And actually, it tells us that down their black faces, covered in soot, there was little lines of white appeared, because the tears were streaming down their face as they came to Christ. And George Whitefield on that evening had been invited to another occasion. He was invited to a grand mansion owned by the Countess of Huntingdon. And in that grand mansion, the aristocrats and the lords and ladies of the area were gathered. And George Whitefield stood before them. And what did he preach? The very same message that he preached to those impoverished coal men a few hours before. Because this message is for all people. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Folks, do you see that tonight? Are you willing to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior? If you are, the good news is this, that there is life in a look at the crucified one. All you have to do is look to Christ and acknowledge your great need and repent of that need and call upon Christ to save you. And he will do that. Why? Because that's why he came, to save sinners. And folks, for that very reason, that this message is not just for the respectable of this community, so-called, or the people that others might think, oh, they're the nice people, so-called, we're maybe not as nice as they think. This is a message for each and every person. And that is why I appeal to you as I finish, that you take that little invitation for our community carol service, and you pray over the next couple of days, who can I give it to? And as God puts it on your heart, who to give it to? There's no point in those things sitting on your table for a week and then to be recycled. Put it into somebody's hand and say to them, you will be warmly welcome. This is a Christian church where Christ is preached to one and all, irrespective of who they are, and each one is welcomed in the name of Jesus. Why? Because that's what we're about. Why? Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Kilkeel is full of sinners. And I'm at the top of the list. and so are you. But that's why Christ came. And that's why on this cold, dark December evening, this is good news. This is good news. Let's believe it. Let's go out and invite them in and say, come, for all things are now ready.